Do you fret and worry? Or do you pray and trust? I don't know what we're going to do. I don't. How are we going to handle it? How are we going to do it? John Wesley said, back when cussing meant something, he said, "I would to have soon to swear as to worry." What did Jesus tell you to do about worrying, huh? Don't do it. You see, we can fret and worry, or we can pray and trust, and it's a choice. We want to be a barrier or a bearer. Which is it? I was down in Alabama for a revival a while back. It's been several years ago now, and about 8 or 9 years, I guess. And it was, I stayed with a host family. It was a, they had a, I think it was their great-granddaughter that was with them, a little girl named Mandy. She's about 5, 6 years old. One of the most precocious little children I think I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know when she slept, because we had a Bible study at the church every morning at 6:30. And we came back to this family's home for breakfast, whoever wanted to come. They had a huge long table in this, like a dining hall out back of the kitchen there, and a bay window at the end of it and all that. And so we'd come back over to this home for breakfast. And when I got up and left at about 6:25, Mandy was going. She was running. And when I'd go off to eat dinner with somebody, she was buzzing around there doing something. Now, I'm a late sleeper. I sleep at night. I stay up late at night. That's who I am. I'm a night owl. That's when I do most of my studying and work. And whenever I'd go to bed, about 12:30, 1 o'clock, there was Mandy. She'll kick. I don't know when she slept. I have no idea. But all I know is I had preached the evening before on God cares for you and how a sparrow won't ever fall without God taking note of it, you know, that kind of stuff. That morning we came back over for breakfast, and I'd gone down to the inn to sit out there by, I'd look out in the backyard out that bay window, and Mandy was out there and she was buzzing around doing stuff. Her grandmother was cooking the breakfast, and the grandpa was sitting at the table drinking his coffee reading a newspaper. And nobody else had showed up yet. And all of a sudden I heard Mandy yell, almost scream. I thought she'd run up on a snake or something. And she came flying around the corner of the house, and I saw she blew in the back door right up to her granny, God's in the backyard. I know, honey, he's everywhere. She's stirring grits and turning ham and biscuits and stuff. Honey, he's all over the place. Well, no help from Grandma. And I could tell she'd done this before with her grandfather. She went over there and got up right between him and his newspaper, put her little hands right up here on his collar, and just said nose to nose with him. I mean, she got right on top of him, because he was still trying to read the paper, and she was like one of those snake charmers. She was just, you know, back and forth. And she said, "Grandpa, God's in the backyard." "Honey, I know that's what your granny said. He's everywhere." No help from him. I was her last choice. And so she got in and she went down that table and came down there to me, and she didn't say anything to me. She reached out and grabbed my hand and started for the door. And over her shoulder she said, "Brother John, God's in the backyard." I said, "You don't mean it? Let's go see." And so we went out in the backyard. I can always learn something from a 5-year-old. We went around the corner of the house and came up on this line of shrubbery bushes there, and she squatted down on her heels and she said, "See?" She was pointing at a little sparrow that had died sometime during the night, laying under those shrubbery bushes. Tears came to my eyes. I said, "Oh God, let me have that kind of faith. That's the kind I want. Whatever I got's not like that. That's what I want, what Mandy has." And I said, "Thank you for a little child that believes that word." She knew God was in the backyard because a sparrow would lay it on the ground. Well, I've never done this before, Brother Allen, but the only one I've ever done, we had a funeral for that little sparrow. We went and got a shovel and dug a little grave. We put him in it. She got a little flower and laid on top of it. And I prayed for your little sparrow buddies and sparrow family and all his other friends, the squirrels and everybody. I did. We had a funeral for a sparrow.
Well,
let me tell you a Paul Harvey version of that. I was back in that church about a year ago, a little over a year ago maybe. And there was a young lady in that church who was now a very beautiful young woman. She was, I think, a junior in high school maybe, or maybe a sophomore. It was 8 or 9 years prior to that. And I remembered her. And I went over. I said, aren't you Mandy? Yes, I am, Brother John. I'm so glad you're back. And I said, Mandy, I have told people about our funeral service for the Sparrow. She said, well, I'm glad you have, because let me tell you about it. She said, when I live in my life, she said, you know, I never did sleep. I was just always burning it at both ends. But she said, one day I was at a revival meeting in our church, and it was a pastor preaching, and she said, it came to that point where he said, you can either trust God now and live for Him, or you may have to face Him without trusting Him at a later time. And she said, all of a sudden I had a flashback to you and me in that backyard burying that little sparrow. And how I heard you pray, and I didn't know I'd said it out loud, how I heard you praying, oh God, give me that kind of faith. And she said, I realized that was the kind of faith that was going to get me through, and she gave her heart to Jesus. All because of a sparrow's funeral. How tanked up do we get about worry, huh? I mean, some of you are so worried about appearance and growing and not growing and ungrowing and all that other stuff you want to try to do. I mean, you know God knows how many hairs on your head. And as I look around this room, I notice for a couple of you, he ain't got to count so high anymore. But don't worry, there's a cure for it. And it's not Rogaine either. You get a quart of green persimmon juice. And if you hurry, you probably can find some right now in the woods. We were talking about persimmons last night. And get you a cup of alum powder. Mix it in there and stir it up real good. Do not drink it. But you rub it on up here. Now, it won't grow any hair at all, but it'll just snap the sides right to the top. You'll think you've got hair. We get all worried about stuff we can't change, right? And God said, I want you to trust me. I don't want you to be a barrier with all your worrying and fretting and all your anxiousness. All you're going to do is get high blood pressure and ulcers and bite your fingernails down to the quick. And I'd rather you just trust me. And I'm going to meet every need that you have. I'm going to be with you all the way, every step, even until the end of the